Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how much of the story in this book really happened and how much of it is fictionalized? Jeremy Dronfield is a best-selling writer of both fiction and nonfiction. His latest book, The Boy Who Followed His Father into Auschwitz, is based on the true story of Gustav Kleinmann, a Viennese upholsterer who was captured by the Nazis together with his teenage son Fritz and sent to the Buchenwald concentration camp. When Gustav heard that he was going to be transferred to Auschwitz, Fritz did everything possible to stay with his father. The secret diary, which Gustav managed to keep during their 6 years of captivity, is the basis of Dronfield's book. Jeremy presented the Spanish translation in Centro Sefarad Israel, along with an exhibit of photographs related to the book. You can visit the exhibit until May 16th. We're also including a link to a video of a conversation between Jeremy and Kurt Kleinmann, the last living member of the family. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Jeremy. First, could you tell us about how this book came into being, how you happened to write this book?
I first came across the story when I learned of the existence of the diary kept by Gustav Kleinmann in the concentration camps. He kept it from October 1939 through several different camps, from Buchenwald, Auschwitz, and ultimately Bergen-Belsen, and then throughout his liberation. I knew right away, as soon as I read Gustav's diary, that this was a story that needed to be told as widely as possible. The problem with the diary is that, however important it is as a historical document, it's very difficult to read. And Gustav wrote it very sketchily, not really intending it to be read by anyone else. And it's full of very obscure references to people and events. And even a Holocaust historian would find it difficult to understand without referring to their reference books. So I decided that the best thing I could do would be to bring my abilities as a researcher and a writer and tell the story in a way that would be accessible to everyone. So I researched other sources of information, interviews and pieces written by Fritz, his son, and by information from others, from archives. I traced the last surviving member of the family, Kurt Kleinmann, who lives in America, and spent hours interviewing him.
When you were writing the book, was it hard to create a balance between the nonfiction and the fictional part of the book?
Well, I found in practice that I didn't need to do that. At first, because I had only patchy information, I did consider writing the story as a historical novel, because it was the only way I could see of telling the story. But as I researched it, I uncovered so much information that eventually I had more, far more than I needed to tell the story without inventing anything. So when you read this book, you're reading every bit of it is real from original sources. There is nothing invented. Although it reads in the way that a novel would read, it's all completely true. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to invent anything.
Many survivors have said that it was very important for them to have someone close to them, and this is what enabled them to survive. Do you think that this is what happened in this case?
Yes. In many instances, Gustav and Fritz were saved just by sheer luck, and they came close to death many, many times. But consistently, the thing that kept them alive was the support from friends amongst the prisoner resistance in the concentration camps. But ultimately, it was the bond between them, between father and son. It was really their belief in each other, their love for each other, kept them together, and that helped to keep them alive.
And as we read this book, we find that we fall in love with the characters, that we can really identify with them. Did this also happen to you?
Yes, I do. I grew to know them and, in a way, to love them through writing the book. It's my abiding regret that I will never be able to meet Gustav and Fritz in person. I mean, I was so fortunate to be able to meet Kurt Kleinman, the youngest member of the family who is still alive and who I interviewed extensively for the book. And when I eventually got to meet Kurt in person, it was very emotional, and for him as well, because he had become close to me. And I was very moved when he said that meeting me was like meeting a new brother.
What impressed you the most, and what did you find the most difficult thing, I guess emotionally, when you were writing this book?
There are a lot of challenges in writing a book this complex. I had to overcome a lot of technical challenges in reconciling a lot of different sources of information, some of which sometimes conflicted with each other on minor details. But emotionally, it's a case of getting very involved. I always get involved with the people that I write, whose stories I write. I become very attached to them, but in this case, far more than usual. And I had to deal with really, truly terrible things happening to these people that I had grown very attached to, and working out how to tell their stories in a way that would have an emotional impact on readers.
What part of the story that Gustav tells in his diary moved you the most? And have you found any kind of reconciliation with everything that happened?
Well, there are two questions there. The thing from Gustav's diary, the thing that moved me the most was the moment when Fritz made the decision to go with his father to Auschwitz, knowing that it was likely to be a death sentence. That was the moment when I really knew that this was a story that I had to tell. And I think other people have picked up on the same thing. And that's why it's the title of the book. The Boy Who Followed His Father into Auschwitz is really the heart of the story, and it tells us everything about their relationship and their determination to stay alive, but their determination to stay together. That Fritz would rather die than be parted from his father.
Considering your personal involvement with this true story, how do you feel about other books, mostly novels or even historical novels, that have dealt with the same topic of the concentration camps and of the Holocaust, in which the writers might have trivialized these horrible situations and even in some cases made them seem frivolous?
Yeah, that is a problem. When you make the decision to tell a story as fiction, you're giving yourself the license to invent things. And in the context of a concentration camp, that can have consequences. I know that there are novels set in concentration camps which have, for the sake of a story, taken liberties with historical fact. And I think with the Holocaust, that is something that is especially problematic.
Who is your ideal reader? Who do you think should read this book?
Anybody who loves human stories, stories of human survival and endurance and love, really. Ultimately, for me, although it's a story of intense suffering, I think it's finally a story about devotion and love and endurance and hope.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
One thing that I think underlines our perception of the Holocaust and who wants to, it relates to who wants to read this story. When I first put together a book proposal based on this story for publishers, nobody wanted to publish it. Wow. We went to every publisher in Britain and in America, and although they all said this was an amazing story, they couldn't publish it because people wouldn't want to read it. It wouldn't be marketable. But I decided that by this point I had got to know Kurt. I had come to feel for the Kleinman family and really believed the story needed to be told. So even though as a professional writer it made no economic sense for me at all, I decided that I had a duty to write the book anyway. And so I did. And then a brilliant editor at Penguin Books in Britain heard about the story, and he decided that, like me, that this was a story that needed to be told. And moreover, unlike all of his professional colleagues throughout the publishing industry, he believed that people really would want to read this story. And the book was published, and he was proved right, and it was enormously successful. It was enormously well received by the public with a huge emotional reaction, and is currently being translated into 12 languages at current count.
Thank you very much. That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is englishcorner@radiosefarad.com. See you next week.